Hey, welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast. I'm Eric Mork. I'm the host. And what we do is we give you short, informative shows all about Silverlight. Welcome to another edition of This Week in Silverlight, recorded April 9th, 2010. Joining me, as always, Brian Henderson and Kelly White. Hey, gentlemen.
Hi, Eric. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Brian. Hey, Eric.
All right, guys. So another interesting week in Silverlight. And let's start talking about it. News. Kelly. What happened?
So Ian Smith sent out a tweet that I really grabbed a hold of. He was talking about this SilverlightMob.com. And this is an agency that's out there, and they're marketing. They're saying, you know what, we do Silverlight for Windows Phone. And you go to that website, you go through it, and it looks really nice. But it just kind of brings to mind the urgency, you know, it is right now to get started and be playing with the Windows Phone bits. You know, and not to wait until it's released, you know, or not to wait even until the next update comes out, but to start with it right now.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a new space opening up, right, and it's going to start to be filled up by talented people. And I got to tell you, that site looks impressive.
Yeah, it's really nice. So Tim Heuer, staying with Windows Phone, right, Tim Heuer just tweeted out a picture. He says it's more Metro theme sneak peek. Now, when you look at this, what do you guys think about it? I mean, it looks like a bunch of controls for the Metro theme, but then what else? What's he leading here?
But you have to look at the top of the picture he has, because it's got the toolbox, it's got basic controls, so I think it's kind of showing the toolkit and some other features as well as what controls will be included for the phone.
So he's talking about, like, there's SDK controls, there's toolkit styles.
Yeah, and we'll include, I'll include the picture up on the site, and you can also take a look at the link for those folks who are at home. It looks to me like he's demoing tools and stuff. The thing is, I don't think we're going to see a white Metro theme. I just really don't, because of the battery considerations on the OLED system. So I think it's more, I mean I'm guessing, I have no idea, but I'm just kind of guessing that this is more of a demo of controls and stuff.
I'm going to say that he is showcasing these using a new panorama control, and that's something we're going to get in the next update. Maybe that should be rumor stuff. That's what I think when I see that.
That actually kind of be kind of cool if you got a panorama control right out of the box for Silverlight, because then you get all that functionality.
Yeah.
For navigation based wise.
So have either of you guys started using the dot toolbox education learning thing?
Yes, I signed up.
Yeah, no, I haven't signed up. What's it about?
Really? You haven't signed up?
So, Rebel.
Wow, there's 3,000 people that have signed up for this out of 80 countries, and you're one of the people that hasn't signed up? Eric.
Yeah, what can I say? The Silverlight world is hopping.
So it's a way that people can go to this site, they can create an avatar, they sign up for it, and then they go through these series of tutorials and training. They learn design principles. They also learn... they learn design.
So when you say design principles, is this going to help me become a designer? Like, is it going to help me figure out how to put colors together and round corners and do that kind of stuff?
It is. So you as a developer, right? This, you go here and you're going to learn. There's two tracks there. One is for design scenarios that guide you in creating Silverlight applications using Expression Studio, and then there's design principles, which walks you through key design concepts. Right? You go through. You learn these. You go through these tutorials. You take some tests or exams to prove that you're learning the material, and you graduate through different phases, like rookie to starter to star, right? You get achievements. And then you can kind of say, and then as you get these achievements, you get badges. And it's kind of a way to say, you know what, here's not only do I know Silverlight, but here's a way that I can, and not only do I know design, but here's a way that I can prove it.
I think it also helps developers just relate better to designers. So when you need to communicate with the designer and work on a project, you're able to cross those barriers much easier as well.
I like it. Nice. I think it's really
awesome.
Cool. So last thing I want to mention is that the Portland Code Camp, that's going to be coming up Saturday, May 22nd, and they are still accepting submissions for people to to pick a topic for sessions. Awesome.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Portland Code Camp crew, they're a pretty good crew. We used to have a pretty good Code Camp here in Portland. And, of course, Kelly and I will be here, and potentially Brian. Brian, did you say you're coming down or not?
Yes, I'm signed up already.
Oh, great. Yeah, so we'll have the whole crew as well. Here. Yeah, great, great. And then, Kelly, don't forget Karina.
Oh, so that's right. On Tuesday, and that would be, what, April 13th, Karina Black is going to be coming down to the Portland Silverlight user group. She's going to be talking about Expression Blend and doing good design and good user experience. It's going to be really exciting and really cool. And if anybody out there can make it here, definitely do come to this one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. All right, so I've got a couple of things. First of all, so Scott Barnes has kind of an interesting post, and he's talking about the preloader experience. So I think we've all seen, you know, the blue dots that kind of swirl around while a Silverlight application loads. And there are some ways that we can customize that now, and you know, they vary from kind of easy to pretty hard, but essentially we can do it. And he has some ways that we can. He's even kind of brazen, has some action items for how to push Microsoft into implementing these ideas, whereby they would have the template for Silverlight projects created in such a way that we could add, you know, loading screens and interactive loading experiences a little easier. And, you know, I kind of agree. I kind of hate template bloat, but I kind of agree that the user experience while your application is loading is very, very important.
That'd be kind of cool, just have a wizard that just adds that preloader project into your solution.
Yeah, so I'm, you know, maybe as an option, right? Like you could select, I want the preloader, and then it would come out or something. I could see that being a pretty workable solution.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
And then, so the other thing I wanted to do is just a little bit of self-promotion. I'll try not to do this too much, but I had a interview with Tim Huckabee on MSDN Bytes, and the reason it's interesting is not because of the technical stuff. We didn't talk about technical stuff. It was just sort of a discussion about what it's like being a Silverlight consultant, and, you know, he's a pretty good interviewer. I think he was able to take some pretty rough raw material and sort of get a story of what it's like to be a Silverlight consultant. So I thought that was pretty fun and interesting. So there you go. Brian, what do you have?
Kelly mentioned the user group on the 13th, and that just happens to be the launch of Silverlight 4, which is kind of cool. I'm not sure it's RTM or RTW. Mary Jo Foley has an article on that. It's kind of asking, you know, is it released to the world or is it just an internal release? You know, what stage it is. I guess we'll find out on Tuesday what's going on there for sure. But definitely sounds like there's an official launch. And to coincide with that, if anybody's watching Silverlight TV, John Papa every Thursday has his episodes of Silverlight TV gets posted out there. And these have been recorded in advance, but in that week, Dev Connections will be doing two shows live. So I think people will call in and ask questions and see what's happening right at the launch time as well. Other hot news this week is build Silverlight in the living room. Very interesting. Microsoft's working with Intel, creating Silverlight for system on a chip. So they actually have embedded hardware with Silverlight on it going into set-top boxes, potentially Blu-ray CDs or DVDs, or even TVs as well. People are probably familiar today that you have sort of like embedded Java on a chip. So this would be kind of similar to that, but for Silverlight. So potentially we have, you know, hardware clients out there we can deploy Silverlight to basically anybody's living room and it has a high definition TV.
So that's good. That's awesome. I think I'm all for, you know, Silverlight expanding and taking over the world, quite frankly. But it's also a little scary, right? Like I don't know where my apps are going to run anymore. It used to be pretty clear, like they would be on, you know, a PC or a Macintosh. But mm-hmm. Now my apps, they might find their way onto a Symbian phone. They might find their way onto, you know, Windows Phone 7, Windows Windows Mobile. I don't even know what we're calling it, but you know what I'm saying.
The Windows Phone, yeah.
The Windows Phone, but not Windows Mobile 6, right?
Right.
And then it might, although admittedly there isn't an in-browser story there, right? So that's unlikely. But I guess the point is that Silverlight's proliferating across devices, and either now or in the near future, there's going to be a lot of different places that our applications could show up. And you know, I think it's important that we be cognizant that write once, run everywhere is a story, but it's never going to be true with any technology. We can get close, and I think Silverlight gets us pretty close, but at the same time, you know, we have to have a little bit of knowledge about where our applications are running so we can make sure that they're optimized and running properly. All right, I'll step down off my soapbox, but
I think you got a point there, Eric. I think we're going to see, like we're seeing for the phone already, you're going to have a marketplace or a deployment scenario that's going to target certain devices. So maybe in these set-top boxes and devices, we'll have widgets that will be deployed to those devices, so very small, lightweight. We'll have the phone, and then we'll have our other browser experience and different things like that. But each, I think, platform is going to have its own target deployment channel for that.
So I think, yeah, I mean, that's a great point that these things are going to be targeted, at least initially. But, I mean, I guess my sort of general point is that there's no going backwards, right? Like, as we start to roll Silverlight out onto these devices and run, you know, in the wild web applications on these devices, not saying that's happening or going to happen, but... Well, actually, I guess I am saying, I think in the future it will dawn on someone that we can do that. And once we do that, you know, it's a little bit scary. You know, we want to keep those experiences really good with our Silverlight apps, and that's going to be a bit of a challenge, in my opinion. But anyway, I think I spent too much time on this, so I'll let you have it back.
That actually leads into my next point. The MVVM Lite toolkit version 3, actually it's SP1 because it's including support for the Windows Phone 7. Laurent released that this past weekend. And I think it kind of relates into play into all these different devices because your service layer is going to be very similar, but having UI for these different devices is going to be very different. As a developer, to be able to target these different things, that MVVM pattern is going to be helpful, the view model view pattern.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. And there, you know, I don't think view models are going to help you out with performance, but we can write different interfaces that tie into those view models, right? So maybe one interface is appropriate for the phone and a different interface is appropriate for, you know, a desktop experience.
Right, so you have customized views for different deployment scenarios, but your view model and your backend code can be very similar, so it lessens your work if you kind of architecture your applications that way. Also at Vegas this next week with the launch of Visual Studio and Silverlight, there's actually a National Association of Broadcasters conference going on. And there's a bunch of stuff related to the Microsoft Media Server coming out because they're having version 4. There's a bunch of SDKs and stuff like that. So I'll just include the links in our post on the website and you guys check that a little bit further. It's a nice Microsoft press release. And I think Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll hear much more details. So just keep your eyes open.
All right, which takes us into the rumors stuff. So, by the way, I didn't say it at the top, but I should have. Brian is the person who's really been driving these items and giving us the material to work from. So thanks, Brian.
Yeah,
anytime.
So in the rumors, I got to tell you, when I heard this one, it just made my heart sink. So. Apple is talking about their new OS 4, right? And that's going to ship for iPhones this summer and for iPads this coming fall. And one of the provisions they have in there is no more cross-compiling, right? And the expectation is they're taking aim at Flash, right? So you can't – the Flash was going to have this compiler where you could compile a native application for the iPhone. So they were taking aim at that. But Caught in the Crossfire is one of my personal favorite projects of all time, and that is the MonoTouch project where you can write C# on the iPhone. But, of course, that's a cross-compile. And at least if this holds, if Apple doesn't change this, you can no longer run MonoTouch applications in the App Store, which is just – it's just going to be devastating. There's tons and tons of apps already in the App Store using MonoTouch, and they're not going to be able to run on OS 4.
Well, basically, they're not going to all third-party application scenarios, because basically the outline specifically, you know, Objective-C, C, C++, JavaScript, that's all they're going to allow. You can't call their APIs from any other language at all. So they're actually specifying at the language level, not at the compile level.
Right, which is kind of interesting. Like, I might have said, by the way, you can't use a different compiler, right? Which would seem to do the same thing. So they've said you have to use, like, C or C++ or JavaScript. And I'm thinking to myself, well, how much would it take to get managed C++ to cross-compile on the MonoTouch
compiler? No!
Right?
Are you serious? So, I mean, Objective-C, there's an opportunity here, right, to stay there and really dive into Objective-C and you can separate yourself and you can move into there. It's an opportunity. But do you guys think that this is also a way for them to, I mean, they've got to be taking some flack for having over 100,000 apps in their app store, you know, and is this a way to filter that down and separate out the chaff from the wheat, so to speak?
One of the worst things Apple could have done as far as slapping developers, just because, yeah, maybe target Adobe for whatever reason, but at the same time, they're taking out, you know, Unity 3D, Titanium, MonoTouch, all these other potential platforms and user developers that would come into the ecosystem. So now they're excluding all those developers. Basically, say the only option you have is Xcode, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a weird call. I think part of the issue, everybody's trying to avoid this race to the bottom, right? And one of the problems with the App Store is that the price has quickly collapsed to about 99 cents per app. And that's a real problem, like, when you're trying to make money in a marketplace, right? I don't know that's the right move. It seems like it's a move that's bound to infuriate developers, and I don't know, maybe they can get away with it. They've gotten away with it so far, so maybe.
Here's the thing: it's definitely going to infuriate developers, and it's you know, going to piss off a lot of people, a lot of businessmen, right? But if they were to allow CS5 to go forward and allow developers to write apps for the iPhone App Store in Flash, right, then you'd quickly have 200,000, 300,000 apps by the end of the year. I don't know if that's a good thing, yeah. Right?
The bad thing is just my hopes of having Silverlight and the iPhone are basically dead now, so that's my big concern.
Yes. Yeah, and I should have highlighted it. That's why this is, you know, appropriate for the show, is that there was always an outside possibility. And again, nobody here had any inside information. This was ever a realistic possibility, but there was some potential that you could have Silverlight cross-compiled for the iPhone. I mean, technically, that was a possibility. And Steve Jobs basically said no to that. So, kind of frustrating.
Exactly, because the MonoTouch people are getting very close, and MonoTouch and Silverlight are very similar, both .NET CLR. So,
yep. All right, so let's move on. So, who wants to talk about Blend 4?
So, what is happening with Blend 4? It is just very quiet. Like, even at Mix, there was like what, 2 or 3 sessions on Blend 4, not a lot of new stuff. So, is it going to get released next week with Visual Studio, or?
Yeah, I don't
anybody
know.
Heard
That's
anything?
A good question.
I haven't heard anything. I hope so. It would be disappointing if it wasn't, right? Especially if Silverlight 4 is released.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, I'm on the the beta, and that thing is crashy for me. I don't know if you guys are doing any real work on the with the beta of Blend 4, but man, I'm having a hard time using it. It's just crashing and giving false errors and stuff. So just for that reason, for me, I kind of hope something's coming out. So, all right. So that leads us to application of the week.
It's basically something that's themed like Metro theme application. It's basically some web art gallery art from Monet, Van Gogh, Chenin, and it's from the Berhilly collection, I believe. Forgive me if I mispronounced that, because it's Swiss, so my Swiss is not so good.
Don't worry, no geek can pronounce that word.
But the site itself is very cool. It's got about a dozen paintings at very high resolution. So a combination of the Metro theme, which you see on the Windows Phone-like, which is a desktop application, but also has deep zoom. So you can actually zoom in and see brushstrokes and just the dimensions of the paintings themselves.
Yeah, it's just a well-done app, in my opinion. You know, they get the user experience right, as near as I can tell, and nice use of deep zoom.
Deep zoom, great animations, and just visually very pleasing.
All right, folks. Well, that wraps up another week of this week in Silverlight. So thanks for being on, guys.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in Silverlight 3 or Silverlight 4, check out our website, silverbaylabs.org. That's where we have information about Silverlight consulting and development. If you're interested in training, check out the Silverlight Tour, where I'm an instructor.